All right, welcome back, guys, to the Occasional Barista. My name is Chris, and today we have a very, very special guest named Tyler. Tyler, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Tyler.
Yes, I mean, do you want to say where are you at in coffee right now? Would you say?
Oh yeah, sure. So I'm Tyler. I just graduated from UC Santa Cruz studying computer science. Yeah. Amid the coronavirus pandemic. So during the coronavirus pandemic, I decided to get into coffee. I don't know why. I never drank coffee all of college. I was just super, not anti-caffeine. I saved it. You know, I'd slam a Yerba Mate midterms, finals week. I never really needed the energy boost. So I was solid during that, even though I guess this might come up later, but Chris, I've known you since freshman year of high school, so that's what, 8 years now, going on nine. Gosh.
It's our 9 year anniversary. But,
I know. But I think you got into coffee what, like our junior year, sophomore year?
Yeah, high school? It was late high school, I'd say.
Yeah, so you tried to kind of get me into it, and then I never did it. Oh. First, like, real experience with coffee was like Starbucks. Oh, was that a buzzword?
No. The thing just like quickly like freaked out since it's Wi-Fi or whatever. But say it again.
Oh yeah. My first experience with coffee was that one night at Starbucks when we were studying for Calc. Was it last year test?
Calc
test. Yeah.
It was Calc.
And I got wired. It was sick.
It was
but then during quarantine.
Yeah. Was it an out of body experience for you? Because it looked like an out of body experience for you. Like,
The best way I can explain it is I felt like Albert Einstein. I knew everything. Yeah. I had numbers floating around me.
It was like Goodwill Hunting. Sense. It was like straight up that Goodwill Hunting scene, dude.
It was sick.
I would just kind of set the scene really quick. We're at this Starbucks, our local Starbucks to our high school. And they have like this big, I don't know how many Starbucks are if they're the same, but they have like this big long table in this one. And we always used to study there with like a couple of
friends. We localized it. That was our table.
Yep. And the thing is, honestly, I'll admit I'm Asian and I'm not that good at math. And Tyler and I don't know how you were doing. I'm not going to speak for you, but I was struggling in that class and I needed to pass this Calc test. So we've been like studying together for a little bit. So it's probably like what hour? Like, are we going on like 3 hours in to this study session? Cause it was late. It was late, late.
Yeah. The Starbucks closed what at like 10:30?
Yeah. Something like that. And it's one of those times.
It was like, I think it was like 9:45 when everything started going downhill.
Yeah, because it's one of those ones where you walk into the shop and it's daylight. And then like when you're looking outside, it's like dark, you know? Like it's when they start switching up the music too. Like the music starts changing from like their typical to like, all right, it's like getting close to after hours Starbucks music, dude. And then we're going over this one problem and it's like Tyler started, like you stood up out of your chair. And I was like, what is this kid doing? And he's like, I don't know if you said this, but I swear to God, it was like, I need to visualize this. And I was like, oh okay.
Yeah. Cause there's a problem. It was like, oh, like Tommy started at position zero. And then he made it to position six in like 2.2 seconds. Like what is his velocity? And I needed to act out his velocity.
Yeah.
Like I had to start at zero, walk to six going 2.6, you know, meters per second. I don't think velocity is meters per second squared, but yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. But no, but the thing was, it was like 9:45. And then I was really tired that day. Cause like you said, we were probably going on like hour, like three, hour four studying for this test. It was probably like a final or something. And, I was tired and I was like, usually I got my Zebra hot chocolate. That was my go-to. It's delicious. Yeah. I still get it to this day. But I was like, you know, I'm tired. I need a pick-me-up. I need coffee. And then you and I think we decided like, all right, well, we're both tired. We're going to like call it kind of an earlier night, not stay here till 10:30, like finish out this problem. Yeah. And I was like, all right, sure. I'll just, you know, I got this coffee. I'm just going to slam it. And I probably had like 80% left. So I just like downed it.
Yeah.
And I had zero caffeine.
Tolerance. I'd say
tolerance. There we go. Yeah. And then it hit me.
Yeah. No, dude, if you go back to like my first episode, I talked about like my first experience with coffee was like an out of body experience. I've never done like any of those drugs. I've never done like Coke or anything like that, but I swear to you, I felt like, you know, the scene Limitless with the pill, like this, where it's, I think it's, Brad, not Bradley Moore. I don't even know what his name is, but some actor, and he takes this pill and he makes it like it reaches your like frontal core lobe or whatever it is, like, and you use like all percentage of the brain. You know how your brain doesn't function to its max capacity? Well, this pill makes it. And dude, he's like able to see himself in like future situations and figure out which is the best situation. And I swear to you, dude, I felt like that scene in Limitless where I'm like everything was moving slower everything around was unlocked. Me.
Dude, oh yeah.
Yeah, like I was moving faster than everyone and yet everything was in slow motion and I could like predict things, which is totally untrue. But that's and
I'm
what
sure you
like.
Can I'm sure you can attest to this. I was the exact same way.
Yeah.
Except it was reality. You know you were moving slower than me. I was moving so fast and I was predicting the future.
It was sick.
So
like the best way to compare it to you is like the movie Flash or like the TV show Flash or like the scene in Limitless, like that's what was going through our heads. But Tyler, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. You look like that scene in SpongeBob, if you remember, when he's like, want to go see me go to that rock and back again? And then
he
just like quickly like runs. It's like, yes, Tyler, you were moving fast in real life because you were running to the bathroom and back. Like that's nowhere else to put it. You were running, you were like, this is point A, and then you would run to the bathroom and like, this is point B, or where the bathroom is like located at, and then you're trying to map it out, dude. Oh my god.
Yeah, I told you I was trying to act out the velocity I was running to make sure the answer made sense. I was like,
What did you pass that class? I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've never failed a class.
Yeah, we both passed. But I'm not saying I did well.
I think back. I probably didn't either.
Before
we digressed, where was I? Oh yeah, during quarantine, I got really into coffee. I decided it was going to be my thing, and then I jumped into the deep end. I got all the nicest equipment I could to do pour overs with zero. I didn't drink coffee. I was like, you know, I'm going to get the best equipment and then start drinking and hope for the best. So that's why. If you watch the bonus content, you'll see I got all the top of the line type stuff.
Yeah, dude, look out for that bonus content. It's gonna be another episode, but it'll probably like
just because I was like, oh sure, like I don't need money.
Yeah. But dude, you were going to Cat and Cloud though. You were going to Cat and Cloud, right?
No, I check it out. So I went to school at Santa Cruz and then I would go surf at Pleasure Point. That was like my favorite surf spot. Mm-hmm. And Cat and Cloud. Don't know if it was the original place, but it was super cool. Cat and Cloud that I went to in Santa Cruz is on Portola. They've opened up, I know of at least one more, but it was like in this house. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So I'd go there very occasionally, like, you know, not, yeah, like very occasionally. So I'd go there. There's also Verve. I'd go there all the time. Yeah, but I wasn't like really drinking coffee when I went there was the thing.
Yeah. But was that like your first experience with like specialty coffee?
Yeah.
See, what would you
I remember
order?
My first time? It was called. Yeah. So I didn't know what I was ordering. The first time I went to Cat and Cloud.
Yeah.
They had a chocolate croissant and it looked super fire. So I was like, all right, cool. I told the barista, I was like, hey, let me get that chocolate croissant and then can I get a coffee? Like, all right, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know, just black coffee, I guess. He's like, well, any particular roast? Because Cat and Cloud had like a ton of batch or whatever. And I was like, no, like whatever you think. Surprise me. I don't know. He's like, all right. And then he set me up with the Honduras with the chocolate croissant. It was delicious.
It was delicious.
That was my first experience. And then I exclusively drank Honduras Cat and Cloud for a while.
To this day.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
No, actually, I haven't gotten in a while. The Cloud. But Daydream, we always have Cat and Cloud on the espresso. We use the answer. And then...
Well, that's also one of the reasons why I'm bringing you on the podcast, because now Tyler is now working at one of my favorite coffee shops in the OC area, if not one of my favorite coffee shops overall. I'm not saying you're on the coffee side of things, but you're in there.
Yeah.
You've infiltrated my favorite shop. And now I get to hear all the dirt and the deets. About that,
all the dirty details.
Job.
I don't really have any.
Not yet.
Dirty. Not yet. Everyone there's super cool. I love everyone. So I'm not a barista or anything. You might see me behind the counter because I'll be ringing you up, taking your money, but I'm not making your drinks. So I work in like the re- No, like, I don't, maybe, we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, I work the retail end of things. So they do a lot with like surfboards and other selling things. So I help people out with the surfboard. Like we have a rental board club thing, help people out with that, sell boards. But the coffee there is delicious. I recently started pouring latte art in my hot chocolate. They still froth the milk for me. They don't trust me yet.
Are you using whole milk or are you using an alternative?
Whole milk.
Okay.
Is what I use.
Yeah. See, you're not lactose intolerant like me, dude. I have to stick with like the oat milks and like some random almond milk or something, dude. But hey, that's good. Are you able to make like a heart tulip? Like, what are you trying to? Able to make? No.
I make a blob and then I kind of start the heart shape and then I got to spin the cup around and then I add like a thinner blob. So I was like, dude, look, I made a flower. I made a tulip.
Yeah.
Like an actual, you know, like.
Yeah. Dude, I got to tell you. So like, I wanted to digress too much, but literally, so there's this thing called Thursday Night Throwdowns, which I'm pretty sure Daydream has hosted a couple.
Oh, really?
Okay. So what it is it's like barista. Yeah. Go ahead.
You've told me about this, but continue.
Yeah, it's basically where like baristas come. It's like a latte art like competition, basically, where all the baristas, like there's like a OCTNT for like, because we're in the OC area, but baristas from like even LA, San Diego will all drive up and meet at one coffee shop who's hosting, and it'll be after hours, and it's only like people within the industry go and compete in a bracket style.
You told me about this.
Yeah, bracket style like latte art competition. And they have like beer and it's such a good vibe, dude. Good music, beer. It's so funny to watch. But you're reminding me of this guy. I think his name was like, not Richard, but it was something like something like funny like that, or Steve. I think it might have been Steven or something. But this
guy's name, all right.
No, this is why, because
I remember. Yeah. Continue. I know the story.
You know the story? Because a guy comes in. And I went with a group of friends and we knew it's over at Steelhead Coffee. I think it's Steelhead. I'm not too sure, but basically they entered in a guy like Tyler who had like zero experience in latte art. And these guys are like the type of, like the people who go to these competitions, some of them like win like the like World Barista Championships and stuff. So these people are like, know their stuff, or at least they'll have like years of experience pouring latte art in latte art competitions. They sent a guy in who like has never like steamed milk in his life before. And I'll never forget the look on his face when they get him behind the bar. And the guy, one of our friends, is like, I taught him everything he knows. He's like, I taught him everything he knows. Get it, Steven, get it. And there's a huge crowd that was just hyping this guy up. And everyone's like, oh, this guy must be really good. Like no one's ever heard of him, but like this guy must be really good because people are like cheering for him a lot. You could look on his face when he's looking at the machine, like it is some foreign spaceship where he's like, he asked, I'm pretty sure the people who are running it, like, so like, how does it work? And I was like, what the hell is this guy doing in there? Like, he's about to get crushed. And the poor guy, just like to fast forward, basically what happens is he goes to pour this understeamed milk because he doesn't know how to steam the milk, which means you can't make latte art. So already this guy was never going to get anything because you just have to steam the milk properly to get something. He starts pouring in the cup and he got excited because like some of the milk was actually sticking. Some of the foam that he managed to create was actually sticking to the top. So he saw white appearing on the espresso. And then he got so excited that he didn't look that it was pouring down the side. So for anybody who's never poured latte art, like when you first start, this is going to happen to you. Whoa. The face of it is going to start shifting and sliding down. Like you're basically, the face of the espresso is going to start moving. And that's how you know, hey, you're actually pouring coffee out. And it's going to be a tip that you guys need to know because it's going to save you a lot of messes that you're going to have to clean up. But basically this guy just starts pouring, got way too excited, not paying attention. And he poured like half the pitcher, like on the ground, on the countertop. And then when they go and show it and do the side-by-side comparison, it was like the funniest thing in the world because at that point we knew he like effed up. Like we knew he fucked up basically. And the guy who was hyping everyone up was like, that's my boy. He's like, you killed it, Steven. Fuck him up, Steve. Fuck him up, Steven. Dude, it was the funniest thing in the world. But, dude, oh, my gosh. That's what you remind me of. I'm going to go into Daydream, and I'm gonna request you to make my latte.
Oh, do it. Dude,
I'm going to do it because I think it's going to be one of the funniest things in the world.
Photo of, I think, my first pour ever. Where is it? I totally forgot I had this.
Let's see this. Okay.
That's so I, like I said, I made a big blob, and then I had to flip the cup around, and I did like a long, skinny one.
I could tell.
Skinny one. So you guys have your abstract tulips. I made a real tulip. So get on my level.
I don't know, dude. I made some pretty non-abstract tulips that I think look pretty good. I'm not saying that. Dude, if that's like your first pour, that is impressive. Did someone like hold your hand and do it? Or was that just you, like legitimately by yourself?
That was me by myself. I mean, the barista was there. She was like, all right, you want to tilt the cup? And then as you pour, tilt it back. And that's it.
Wow.
She's like, wow, you actually made something. I was like, yeah.
I'm going to show you just like a couple, like I think this one photo actually. But when we did barista tests at my shop, we had like them, like every barista had to make a tulip. And like, let's just say this is somebody who worked at a shop, dude.
I can do that.
You know what I'm saying? Like you're there. You're there. You're there, dude. You're there, man. That's, but you're not here. You're not here. You're not here, bud.
Okay, give me like another week, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I pour one thing per shift. That's my thing.
But you're here. You're here.
Hot chocolate, and then I pour one hot chocolate latte art.
Yeah.
Big hot chocolate guy.
You should put on your resume that you're a barista. Like just flex it. Just flex it. Dude, you should. Dude, I used to interview people who'd say that they had barista experience, and like that like what you do would be like their barista experience.
So you're king of the Nespresso pods.
Yes. Yes. Have you seen that new trend where everybody puts like a chocolate? Have you tried that? I feel like you would. I feel like you have.
I've seen it. I haven't. But I know exactly what you're talking about. The chocolate, and then they under the espresso, and then it melts. Oof. That'd be nice.
Dude, I can't get myself to do it. I looked at it, and I was like, you know what, I got to see, because out of science purposes, I'll see what it's about. And I'm just like, I can't do it, dude. Can't do it.
You don't. Where would you make it?
I have.
You don't have an espresso machine.
I do that I need to fix, but we have like my,
wait.
Like, yeah, it's like a small, like old one that my parents had like in their office a long time ago. It's like old school. It's like whack, but plus if I want to make, I could go over it to Eosa and I still can like make myself a drink.
Oh yeah. I guess you're around the corner.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we have an espresso machine.
Nespresso?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sacrilegious. How do you permit that?
Okay. Dude, Nelson's going to do what he wants, and he's going to have what he wants, and that's that. Like, I can't change that. Oh my gosh, you almost sent that one, dude. You almost poured out your whole entire cup.
Yeah, dude, they're these little micro cups that I took from my grandma.
Yeah. Okay, well, I did digress, but... You did go, and now you're working at Daydream on the surf side of things. But
yeah, on the retail, I think surf. Go ahead.
You, what's interesting though, is because that might have been your first like specialty coffee experience. But can you recall like the first time, like in your memory, that you remember coffee or trying coffee?
Can we pause this real quick?
Yeah.
Parents.
Yeah, you're good.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, what can you remember like the first time you had coffee, just in general, like your experience with coffee?
It was a Starbucks.
That was it? That was legitimately the first time? Oh my gosh.
That was junior year?
Dude,
no, that
ju-
was
that
was
even
that was senior
year. That was senior year, dude.
Yeah, because we were with Bennett and Mackenzie.
Yep.
Our little study group.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Yeah, that was senior year.
But like I said, I didn't drink coffee all throughout college. I didn't start drinking coffee until mid-pandemic.
Can I just say, you've come a long way. You've come a long way. You get what I'm saying? Like in a short amount of time. In a short amount of time.
You gotta think, dude, going from zero coffee to drinking like only specialty coffee, working in a coffee shop.
That's fast. That's fast, dude. It took me a while. It took me, because in sophomore year, I visited Australia, and that's really where I actually tried coffee for the first time, like for real, was that time. And that's when it started for me. But I would say this, like your perceptions, because this is what I'm curious about, your perceptions of specialty coffee before you got into it, like did you even care? Like when you looked at Cat and Cloud, you didn't even know what it was. Did you just look at like, oh, this is like Starbucks, or how'd you look at it?
I just thought it was another coffee shop.
Okay, so like no prior preconceptions.
So the only way I'd look at it is I was like, all right, Cat and Cloud isn't like a corporation, you know, they're not like a chain.
Not like a chain.
I was like, oh, yeah, I figured, oh, it's like a local coffee shop. I'll go there.
And did you like the vibe it was, like, more?
Specialty. Oh, absolutely. The vibe was sick. And then,
yeah.
Oh no, my. Here, let me change AirPods. This one's about to die.
Yeah. You're good. Ooh, maybe not. Wait, give
there
me
we
a
go.
Yeah. You're good. It was sounding so weird on my side.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What was I saying? The vibe was super sick. And it just felt more like it felt more productive and like non-judgmental, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Like you felt more free to be who you were.
That's interesting.
I know at Daydream, they're really trying to promote that. Where, you know, getting into specialty coffee, I guess, can be kind of intimidating. And it's same with surfboards. So the whole purpose of Daydream is they want to make it less like stressful, and they want to make it more acceptable for people to come in and get experience without any experience.
Yeah. Well, see, that's good, because like, dude, I talked with guys who are in the industry, who've been in the industry for like, I swear to you, like plus 10 years. And when they got into it, there was like huge intimidation factors. People were like timid to go in. They had like all these weird things. But it's interesting now that you say like there's this vibe factor that you were like, that is accepting. And like, that's why you went to the shop. Cause like, what was stopping you from going to Starbucks versus, you know, Cat and Cloud?
Well, the first thing is there's very few Starbucks in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
But there's also Verve, and then, which is Verve's cool. I feel like they're kind of starting to turn into a Starbucks. I feel like they're opening a lot of shops.
They're
chaining it. And then their coffee you can get in grocery stores now. But even Verve felt kind of not intimidating, but Cat and Cloud felt a lot more welcoming. I think that's the new thing.
Yeah.
And then like, I only have 6 months experience in this, but it seems like this like third or this new wave of specialty coffee is really trying to like turn down the intimidation factor and really like have more people join and realize they're like trying to elevate coffee and have it be more, instead of like an everyday thing, have it be like, this is like a luxury type item. It's that's meant to be enjoyed, not just, you know, pick it up and get on with your day.
Yeah.
It's more of an experience.
No, I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's becoming more of a customer experience, customer forward. Like that's what we're trying to like differentiate ourselves from the big chains, is that customer interaction. But another thing I want to just quickly ask is, that's a big jump too for you, especially like, honestly, dude, I'm looking at the equipment I have, in almost like number for number, you're like close to how much money I've spent on my coffee setup. So how did you get from like, okay, yeah, I'm dipping my toes in specialty coffee, I'm really liking the vibe. Like what were other factors made you make this leap into like, I'm going to invest some money in it, I'm going to get the nicest stuff. Like what was driving you to do that?
Okay, so let's take a step back. I was not into specialty coffee when I decided to purchase all this stuff. I kind of learned what specialty coffee, like the movement of it, like 2 months ago when I started working at Daydream. Like, coffee to me is just like coffee, and it's like you go into these cooler places, you know, the Cat and Clouds, the Daydreams, the Aeoses, you know, those type of places. Mm-hmm. And when I got into coffee, I was like, you know, it's, everyone likes coffee. It'll be something that I have for the rest of my life. So I may as well just get the nicest equipment off the start. So yeah, that is, there's no good reason why I spent the amount I did. Like, back to the thing, I started drinking coffee when the pandemic started. Yeah. I had zero, no, actually I had a mocha pot. Like one of the little Bialetti things.
Oh yes, I know mocha pots.
So I went from my Bialetti to that. I didn't even have an espresso machine. I had any of those pod stuff. I just said, you know, I'm going to invest into my future and buy the most expensive everything. Which, if I didn't like coffee, that's a lot of money I just spent for no good reason.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was a full send, man. That was a full send. Yeah, that was a big send. That was a huge send. You could buy us another surfboard easily with that amount of equipment, bro. You could have bought a lot of things with that amount of equipment. So I'm glad it worked out for you. I'm telling you guys right now, I would not recommend, but it worked out for you. And it actually, you know what? I might recommend it because at least you committed and you're committed to like trying to improve, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's like there's some things I wouldn't cut the corners on. Like, you know, the Commandante was like the first grinder. Or actually, no, I bought like a super cheap grinder off Amazon for like $10. And it was like good enough. And then when I decided to like get into pour overs is when I bought the Commandante and everything. You know, you don't need the Stag kettle. You can just use it. I mean, depending on how into the science of coffee and, you know, how into it you are, you can just get, you know, a normal kettle or
100%.
Even like a cheaper variable temperature controlled thing. You don't have to get the most expensive Akaya scale like I did.
Yeah.
But if you were to get anything, I'd recommend get the most expensive grinder you can and then everything else get the cheapest you can.
Yeah.
To an extent.
If that's what all you could afford. No, I 100% agree. I mean, grinders was like one of the first things that I made a big investment on. So I was like, because I needed it. Actually, it might have been the scale though, just because I was using it for work and like contract purposes. Yeah. But like for actual true home use, I was like the grinder's like the number one thing I needed, like 100%.
Yeah.
So did you note it? But like, just so people can tell, like you went from a $10 grinder. I mean, that's not that. I mean, if you can't tell a difference, then there's something wrong. But like, how big of a difference and how much was the change in your coffee game after that investment?
Okay. It's really tough because I used the crummy grinder with the mocha pot because I wasn't quite into pour overs yet.
Yeah.
And when I decided to get into pour overs, I bought the Commandante and then the brewed a couple, except I didn't have like a gooseneck kettle or anything. So I was just using, I'm trying to like put it into words. I'm not a good person to ask the question to see the difference because I didn't really use the cheap grinder on what I drink use daily, if that makes sense.
You know what I'm going to tell you? Yeah. I'm glad you said that though, because I'm going to challenge you one of these days, because I just did it. I didn't use any of my nice equipment. I literally got like an old like kitchen scale that's not even digital. It just has like the little pointer. Okay. And then I use my little hand grinder that I take backpacking that has plastic burrs. Okay. And then I used a French press like that my parents got as a gift, I think. And I used that, dude. And I swear to you, like, just try it, because as long as you're using good beans and your coffee knowledge now, you might make a decent cup. I made a pretty good cup. But
no, I definitely noticed a difference.
Yeah, but I'm just saying you should try it one day. Just go back to like, I called it like back to basics basically, and just go back to like the primitive state, right? Your old like crappy grinder, man. Go back and try it. It's remarkable.
The biggest difference that I noticed was the amount of time it took to grind my beans. Like the Commandante, I could do 20 grams in like 40 seconds, but if I'd want to do 20 grams on that other thing,
yeah,
dude, I'd still be grinding from the thing I brewed. Like I'd probably just be finishing now from like 40 minutes ago, dude. It took forever.
No, but you're jacked now.
Yeah, no thanks to the
All those bicep curls finally paying off, baby.
Oh yeah, I lift so much.
No, but dude, I think like I get it. Like yeah, the Commandante. I mean, the thing too is if you were to look and you had like the two grinds from both of the grinders in your hand, you would see the difference like night and day. Because yeah. Dude, not only did you buy like a nice grinder, you bought like one of the nicest.
Yeah, everything I bought is top of the line. So there was no evolution of making my coffee better as my equipment progressed. It was my coffee quality was zero because I didn't have any equipment, and then my coffee quality was like 100. You know, I just went. There was no in between.
Yeah. Okay, but you said you got your knowledge. So zero training, people. Zero training. This guy has zero training, and you can go watch the video or at least listen to like him make coffee and the steps he's doing. So. Again, what resources did you use for at least the people listening today? Like you said, James Hoffman. Okay. Any other resources?
No. Zero. It's all James Hoffman stuff. Really? I mean, like I knew you, and then I remembered this. You had the IKEA, the Pearl one. I was like, that's a cool looking scale. And then, so I that's kind of what I based. I knew the stuff that you had, and I was like, well, if Chris has it, then I should get it too. But yeah, in terms, it was kind of difficult, like researching stuff. There's like the best thing I can recommend is just like do it. Like there's no, whatever answer you're looking for isn't out there. You just have to figure it out. Like what's the perfect amount of, you know, how many grams of beans should I use? How much water should I use? What should the temperature be? Like all these minor variables, no one has the answer for you. You just got to figure it out yourself.
Yeah. To your preferences, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Cause like if you had the Commandante and you're like, all right, here's these beans. I grind it at setting 30 and do my thing. If I do it at setting 30, it might be a totally different cup, or it might be the same and I hate it because you and I might have two different taste profiles. Mm-hmm. So if someone says the beans are good, the beans are most likely good, but their definition of how they're brewing those is going to be different than, I don't know. I could be speaking gibberish.
No. You're doing the right thing. Now, here's my question to you. Okay. Everything you just said is perfect. Do you, I'm just curious too, just like, cause you, how often do you make coffee for yourself? Every day?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
More or less. I go through periods where I don't really make it.
Do you use the same recipe every time?
No.
No.
Well, yes and no. I haven't brewed enough pour overs to have like a consistent, consistency. I try and make it as similar as I can to the day before, but
do you keep the same numbers though? Like you'll put the same amount of beans in, same amount of.
Oh, in terms of that. Yeah. I always use the same amount of beans and same amount of water. And then, you know, after probably about like a month, sometimes I'll switch it up. So I recently switched up where I was using 20 grams before. Like last month I was only brewing 10 grams of coffee, just because I was doing smaller servings. Yeah.
Whoa. 10 grams of coffee? Over. Yeah.
10 grams for 160. It fits perfectly in this. So this is like the perfect little.
Yeah, that's a pick me up. That's a little pick me up.
Yeah, no. Because working at Daydream, we have like these little Gibraltar glasses, and like that's my favorite size of like.
Oh, it's perfect.
Black coffee.
Gibraltars are perfect. Oh,
yeah, it's not too much, it's not too little. You get to taste the coffee, it doesn't quite get old. So I like smaller amounts because I don't really need the caffeine.
For people who are listening too, it's Gibraltar or Cortado is what you guys, if you guys want to have a really enjoyable drink and you guys like the taste of coffee, get that is like my go-to if I'm going to add milk, that or flat white. Flatties are if I want a little more milk. But dude, Cortado, bro. Yeah, dude, sorry. Right, I think just randomly crashed, of course.
No,
I still have the video. Yeah.
Oh, you still have the video?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's fine. It's converting.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Gibraltar. That's the only
thing. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I find Gibraltar is what, it's like 8 ounces. I find 8 ounces of batch. We call it, I don't know what it's called. We brew batch coffee, but like when I'm at Daydream, my go-to, like when I go in, you know, ringing people up, I'll pour myself a little 8 ounces of whatever we have on batch. And then, I don't know, that's like the perfect amount for me because you get enough of the flavor.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you drink too much of it, it kind of gets a little old. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. Like I just kind of get over it. But it's enough where I can get a little pick-me-up. I enjoy the tastes, but it's enough where it leaves me wanting more rather than, man, I need to finish my coffee.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are nice because you actually give out those Gibraltar glasses if people are looking at buying a bag. Like, that's super nice because normally all the coffees I'm looking at, you guys have on drip. So, like, they would always give me a Gibraltar glass, which is, like, dope.
Daydream's sick. Everyone there's cool. We do great things.
We do great things.
We're good people. It's a super – we try – it's, like, such a welcoming environment.
Yeah.
I love it. Everyone there is so welcome. Everyone's free to be themselves. You know, it's, like, a pretty no-judgment zone. Even though it is – like, when you walk in, it's kind of intimidating only because you look at all the people there. And everyone there is, like, super artistic and creative, and nobody, like, cares what someone else thinks about them. Yeah. So, like, when you walk in, you're like, oh, like, these people are so cool. And that's the only reason it's intimidating. It's not that anyone's judging you. You just, like, man, these guys are sick. Yeah, you feel like when you walk in, you're like, oh, this is a cool environment. Like, this is where cool people are.
Yeah.
So, by being here, I'm cool. And I love it. I love feeling cool.
Yeah. I want you to know.
All cool surfers and musicians. Yeah. I'm like, go ahead, sorry.
Well, no. I think it's a good thing because I have pleasant experiences. And when I think about Daydream, I have good customer service always. I've never seen bad customer service there. Okay. I had somebody, I'm not going to name any names, but they did a brand. Yeah. It was a brand strategist that was working with AOSA. Okay. And he did a like breakdown about each different brand in the OC area in their like coffee shop. And let's just say this, he had some choice, like just interesting things about Daydream, but he had choice words about everything. He was very unbiased. He ripped apart, you know, some things about AOSA's brand. So it's
true.
But he was like, definitely, like he was like, if you're not like a surfer or like kind of like somebody who has like that beach hipster vibe, you're going to feel a little out of place. And I was like,
Fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of different creatives that go there, but I'm just saying, you know, like 100%, like it's Newport Beach surf vibe.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because that's kind of Daydream doesn't, they like the surf vibe. We like the surf vibe. We're, you know, it's Daydream surf shop, not Daydream coffee shop. And we're really trying to like make it be a more welcome experience because especially in like the surf world, it's intimidating to get into. People tend to be really big jerks if you're riding the wrong board and if you're in the wrong spot, if you're not good enough. And Daydream really wants to make it so everything's accessible to everyone and no one feels judged. And we try and make it as welcoming of environment as we can. And, you know, just the people that go there, everyone's super creative and, you know, everyone's welcome. When you walk in, you might feel out of place, but I can promise you're not. Maybe with the other customers, but to the staff, we're all cool people and we enjoy everyone.
Dope people. Yeah. I told you the story how I broke two cups.
Broke two cups?
We broke three.
Oh, good.
Okay. Cause, we take it outside and we, drink, you know, and then if you order espresso, they give you this dope dude. Find out who throws those things. Cause I want some of those.
Costa Mesa ceramics.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm gonna write that down. I'll have to remember it, but dude, because it's the nicest ceramic shot glasses, looks so sweet. And they have like, I mean, it was on IKEA glass, so it's like whatever. But anyways, they serve it to you like that. And I had two of my coworkers and we biked from AOSA all the way over there, got some espressos. Dude,
that's like an 8-mile bike.
No. To Daydream from my house?
Yeah.
No, dude. It wound up being like over 20.
Well, round trip.
Round trip, yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying like straight there, it's like 8 miles.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, like we did it and dude, we like, I admit I was the first one to lose something. It started sliding off my board and I was like, oh crap. All you hear is, shh. And then my other one slipped and it was like, kh. And then my friend heard both of them because it was like, bam, bam. My friend turns around and his slips and breaks, dude. And then there was, you know how people post up outside the front? Like they sit on those crates and stuff. There was a group of people there. There's another group there. And all you heard was, oh, every time it hit, it was like, oh, oh, oh. And everyone was like, no, no. And this just shows, and I'm trying only telling this story to show how great of customer service they have at Daydream, because as a barista, I was like, I'm going to clean this up because I'm used to people breaking glasses. I'm going to clean it up for them. They don't need to do it. They would not let me clean it up. I told them, hey, I'm a barista. Yeah. I have to clean up stuff all the time. Just let me clean it up for you guys because I feel horrible. And they're like, no. I did leave a $20 tip to just semi counterbalance the cost of breaking one of those ceramics, by the way, because I felt horrible.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I felt horrible. I dropped a $20 tip because I felt horrible. But dude, that moment forever lives. And one of my friends, he just got engaged because I think it's the funniest thing. And like, if we ever, like, you know, if he goes to does a wedding like post pandemic, I'm gonna like make a speech about that story of how he was one of the ones to go, oh no. But yeah. Anyways, I would say, for the most part, do you have any words of advice in regards to people going into coffee? Your advice would probably just be full send, but like,
yeah.
but from what you now have learned, just to like kind of round this whole thing up, what would you say to the people who are listening?
Like get into like brewing coffee or getting into specialty coffee or just
the whole shebang, because now you're in both.
All right. Well, the first thing I say, don't get a friend who's a barista because you're going to dive off the deep end like me.
And you're going to spend how much money?
Yeah. No, don't do what I did in full send. I'm so glad I did it. I don't regret it at all. But, you know, not everything is for everybody. So if you dive off the deep end like me and you don't like it, you're kind of out of luck. You spent a lot of money buying all this gear that you're never going to use again. But my best recommendation for someone getting into it, like if you've never, go to the coffee shops, go to the specialty coffee shops, you know, dig the vibe. If you like the coffee, buy a cool grinder and then go from there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, keep it plain and simple. I think that's right.
Yeah.
And like always talk with the baristas behind the bar. Cause like you said, yeah. They're dope. They're dope people.
Yeah.
They're cool people.
They know what they're talking about. I mean,
Yeah. All right. No, that's perfect right there. And again, thank you. Huge thanks to Tyler, a good like friend of mine. We've known each other for again how long now, and I'm sure we'll probably have him back on the podcast just to see where he's at in regards to progression and to see if he's bought any more equipment, which I'm sure might be down the pipeline. Who knows? Honestly, maybe, the next time I talk with you, you're probably gonna have an espresso machine before me. But
I hope not. That's a conversation for another time, but yeah.
But yes, please, please, please check out the other episode. If you liked listening to Tyler, we kind of like a little bit more casual. It is definitely off topic of coffee, but you can also hear how he makes coffee at home, being a home barista. And again, thank you so much for everyone listening. Please follow us on Instagram at The Occasional Barista, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. See you. Perfect, dude.
Oh, that's awesome. Sick. Cool.
Yeah.